Just a couple of things. Saturday, we will have a meeting. That thing starts at 9. If you want to come here and go afterwards, that's fine. We will have a meeting. Dan, you coming? We got a big birthday coming up on Saturday, 1 year birthday. And we'll be covering World of the Spirit. So if you want to join us on page 84, a powerful paragraph on how to live. On Sunday night, we are in this Bill story. And we're going to see Sunday night, we're going to read the powerful pages that really describe how we hit bottom and then what happens to us. And if you haven't studied Bill's story, join us. It's powerful stuff. And that's Sunday at 6. Tonight we're finally going to finish step 3. We spent a long time on it. We read the book, pages 60-63, and we've been studying to carry this message from the book by Joe McHugh on how you sponsor, how you go through the book. Joe was the one who kept the big book alive starting in 1980 for 20 years and did the big book studies 35 weekends a year. And because of him and Charlie, I think the big book stayed alive, and now there's been a renaissance of the program of recovery. And tonight we're going to look at step 0. We're going to look at next at once. And we're going to look at a final look at step 3 and how it ties in with the process of recovery and the steps that follow. We're going to turn to page 63 on this handout. Just a little bit about reviewing. When you're teaching, it's good to put things in perspective when you're teaching something, and that's what I call reviewing. And so we read a few of these paragraphs last week. All human problems come from trying to satisfy one of our desires that make up our basic instincts. And that's this chart here that I've probably passed 1,000 of these out through the years. If you don't have one, I have 2 left. I can make some more. But my instincts of life are my social instinct, my security instinct, and my sex instinct. And there's nothing wrong with them except I decide how I want them satisfied. Now that's called being self-centered. Have everybody ever said they've been self-centered before? Well, what are you centered on? You're centered on satisfying your instincts of life so you'll be happy. Now, he says we learn that we not only have to get rid of our reactions and responses to our basic needs, but how to keep them from coming back. And we've talked a lot about how when our instincts are threatened, we get angry, we get afraid, we harm other people. And if you notice on the chart, it has self at the center. And these instincts, when your self is trying to satisfy them, then you have wrong thinking. Anybody here have wrong thinking ever? Well, that's what we call the wrongs that we're going to inventory the exact nature of in step 4. In step 4, we're going to look at the manifestations of a life run on self-will. And the thing that we have, if we have a life run on self-will, is we're angry all the time, we're afraid all the time, we've harmed a lot of people. And that's what we review in step 4. Does this make sense? And then hopefully, as we improve our relationship with God and we work the steps, we won't be trying to satisfy these instincts, we'll be trying to serve God and others. See how our life will change, our focus will change, and we'll have a new employer. And it says we may have a process that works to minimize these reactions to our instincts on a daily basis, and that's what the steps are. He writes, as Bill Wilson observed, our problems are with life. Liquor was but a symptom of our problems. Liquor was actually the solution to our problems. It worked for a while, didn't it? But it stopped working. And then we have a problem when we choose alcohol as the solution to not liking the way we feel. We're alcoholics, so we can't quit drinking. Now, if we could stop at 2 beers and feel great, that would be okay, right? Maybe. But it doesn't work for us. And so we're screwed. And our problem is that we don't know how to live. If we knew how to live sober, then we wouldn't have to drink, right? Anybody agree with that? So the program is not about how to not drink, it's how to live sober. Spiritually with God, a new way of living, and if you live a new way, then you'll think a new way, and then you'll react a new way, and you won't have to seek the ease and comfort of alcohol. That was good. I hope I can remember that. As we work with sponsees, remember that step three is the first step in the recovery process. Steps one and two are your experience. In step one, complete defeat, desperation. Step two is to believe that there is a power that can help you. It shouldn't take long to realize that you're desperate, because if you really hit bottom, then you understand the gift of desperation. If you're not desperate, keep drinking. Nobody thought that was funny, but that will make you desperate. My sponsor used to say somebody would be complaining at a meeting and he'd be listening to him and he said, buy him more booze. And basically what we need to be is brought to our knees and become humble, and then we're willing to believe, and then we're willing to make a decision. And I can't make anybody desperate. I can't make anybody hit bottom, and I think it's a gift. I think it's the gift of grace at that moment when you completely give up, when you see that you're surrounded. Now, you've been surrounded for a long time. The guns have been pointing at you, but you keep picking up your gun, and then you keep getting shot, then you keep picking it up, and you keep getting shot. But at some point, we stop and we say, I can't pick up the gun anymore. I just can't do it. And that was a gift. I never want to forget that moment in my life. And it's important to remember that, because that keeps you connected to your first step. And then your first step drives all the other steps. Because if you don't stay humble and admit you need a power, then you're not going to seek the power and you're not going to work the steps. And he says, step one gives us information. Step two gives us information. But step three won't have any permanent effect if we don't follow it immediately with action. That's what we're going to talk about, step zero tonight. And the program is going to pay off based on the action we put into it. If you want to be a successful athlete and you want to be a great player in any sport, you can't practice one day. You get it? And in fact, if you look at the best athletes in the world, they keep practicing. They keep practicing all the time to stay at that level. And so AA, if we don't practice the spiritual life, we don't live it, then we don't get the results. And we have to keep doing it, because if we stop doing it, remember, alcohol is waiting for us. Cunning, baffling, and powerful. It says the first real therapeutic progress comes after step four. So I would suggest to most people that they don't wait very long to do step four. Is there any reason that you need to take a long time realizing you're desperate? Shouldn't take too long. And you shouldn't take too long to be willing to believe that there's a power greater than you, because you can see it in the room. And there must be some reason you came to AA. And then you see hope here. And then the decision to stop playing God and to decide that God's going to be your director shouldn't take a long time. Especially if you're humbled in your first step. And then step four is the beginning of the action steps to bring relief. It says most alcoholics are not satisfied with their actions. For a long time they were, and I think in the beginning some people don't see how their actions caused all their problems. They come in here and they have a list of people that caused all their problems, but it doesn't take very long for you to realize that maybe you had something to do with all this. And anybody make pledges to do better? Did anybody get up in the morning and say, I'm not going to get pissed off at work today? I'm not going to piss them off. How'd that work? My intentions were very good, right? But I'm myself, and I'm being threatened. So I would get pissed off or pissed off people, not all the time, but am I the only one that had that issue? I couldn't do better. I wanted to do better, but I couldn't do better on my own. I didn't have the power. It says we had moral and philosophical convictions galore, but they couldn't fix it. They couldn't get rid of my self-centeredness. And it says we tried everything we can think of because we don't like our lives. Anybody not like your life at the time you came in here? And you may still feel that way today. If that's the way you feel, then you need to work these steps. Changing our lives is not a matter of thinking. Anybody agree with that? Can't think your way into recovery. You act your way into recovery. And somebody said right action produces right thinking. I think that was Chuck C. and a new pair of glasses. Think about that. I had to think about it for a while. So you want to take action. Anybody here want to take action? No? I'm the only one. All right. Tough crowd tonight. Most alcoholics don't like their lives. That's pretty true. Changing our lives is not a matter of thinking only. It's a matter of taking action. Pretty simple, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Nothing changes if nothing changes. And if I don't change, my sobriety date will. Anybody ever heard that? Mm-hmm. Ed, that's an honor to you, buddy. Ed's going to be back next month. He's having a real good vacation. The big book says that step three is just a decision. It has no permanent effect unless followed by vigorous action. And that's vigorous action. What do they mean by that? So somebody say, well, what do they mean by that? They mean vigorous action. To remove the things that are blocking us on page 63. The following steps, 4 through 10, are where we actually put the money on the race. Now, if you can turn to page 63 in your big book. Anybody have a big book? It says that page 63 is where we have the third step prayer, and we all like that, right? A lot of people say it every day. But remember, there's a warning label on it. It says, we thought well before taking this step, making sure I'm ready, that I could at last abandon, surrender myself utterly to Him. Now that's the warning that I ask myself every morning. Am I going to abandon myself utterly to You, God, today? Utterly. Am I going to hold anything back? And then it says, it's very desirable to take the spiritual step with an understanding person, but it is better to meet God alone than with one who might misunderstand. And so you're meeting God when you're saying this prayer, and we do it every day. The third step prayer is, it's one thing you say once and you've done the third step. It has to be done all the time, every day. And it says it's only a beginning, though if honestly and humbly made, and remember, humility is the key. Are you honest that you're giving yourself utterly to God? And are you humble and really asking for His direction and His guidance? Then effects sometimes a very great one was felt at once. And I know a lot of people, when the first time they'd done the third step prayer on their knees, it made a big effect. So when do you do step four? This is very complicated. So it says next. So alcoholics don't understand. Well, what does next mean? It means next. It means right away. It means nothing separates you from the third step and beginning the fourth step. And you launch, you're going to launch out on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning, which many of us had never attempted. Though our decision in step three is vital and crucial, it's vital, it's necessary for life, because if you're not going to decide to seek God, then it doesn't matter the rest of the steps. It could have little permanent effect unless at once, followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things in yourself that are blocking you from God. Now, at once and next, does anybody know what that means? Get the hint? Next and at once. You're suffering from alcoholism. You have a fatal disease. You've made a decision to seek God. How long are you going to wait to do the action to change your life? And on the back of this Thoughts on Recovery is this chart. It's on the... For those listening to the podcast, it's on the resources, under resources on the experiencethebigbook.org. It's under self, what makes up self. Now, I really like these two circles, because if you come into AA, you think you come in here because you're drinking too much or your life's a mess or people don't understand you and things are getting bad, but you get here because you've blocked out God. You see the God in the center? But there's this big black circle around them. Now, what's blocking you from God is your self-centered thinking, which results in resentment, fear, and your guilt and remorse for the harms done. And it's because they're a result of you trying to satisfy your social instinct, what you think you need for prestige, your self-esteem, companionship, your ambitions, security, what you need for money, for material things, from people, and sex, what you need from your sex instinct to satisfy you. And when you're doing that, you block God in. You see, God's there, but you've blocked Him in. And then guess what? You're in conflict with everyone, family, wife, fellows, economy, money, home. It's anything in your life you're in conflict, because it says we're in conflict with everyone and everything, right? We don't leave anything out. Now, that's not a pretty picture, is it? Now, who wants to live that way? Who wants to stay that way? So step four is the beginning of the unblocking. We're going to face and be rid of the things that are blocking me. And then God's will, when I live on God's will and I'm connected to Him and I'm serving Him, then my instincts are at the level that God intended. Notice self is very small here, you see. Here self is dominating your instincts. Here it's small because you're working for God. He's directing you. He's keeping you in line. And then you're in harmony with the world. So really, when you come to AA, AA is only telling you asking you one question. How's your life working? If it's not working well, we say, well, you've living without God, why don't you try to live with God? And that's what the steps are all about. So this is a good chart. It helps me a lot. Then this ties in with step zero. This is under the Thoughts in Recovery, which is on the site experiencethebigbook.org. I've written 77 thoughts. I've written on all the steps. I've written about AA proof literature, false pride, spiritual axiom, tons of things. And I just finished the four thoughts on the process of recovery. And so I wrote this one day. I just read it again last night. I think it's pretty good on what step zero is, because I think step zero is what kills us. And Joe Hawk, he was a powerful carrier of the message, and I think Todd said he was listening to that and heard him talk about step zero. He passed away several years ago, and he used the term step zero, and I really liked this. He said, this is when you've received the grace of God, that moment of defeat, to stop drinking, but you've not worked the steps. So he asked the question, I asked my sponsor, he says, how long can you stay sober without working the steps? Then when we have that thing about the emotions build up, and when they build up to a certain level, we drink. Anybody ever have that in their life? How many steps do you need between you and that first drink? See, step one and two won't protect you. How many steps do you need? I suggest you get to step 10, because the big book says on page 85, when we're in the world of the spirit in step 10, that we can see the truth about alcohol, the problem has been removed. Remember, we're not in conflict with everybody and everything, but we've done a lot of work to get there. And we're in fellowship with God in the real world, and step 10 is how we try to stay there all day, so we stay in fit spiritual condition, so we react normally to alcohol. So it says, I wrote that the disease occurs when you're sober, right? Everybody thinks their problems are after they drink. Well, you have a lot of problems after you drink. But the real problem of alcoholism, the disease, is when we're sober. Somebody said, sober, son of a bitch, everything's real. And Ann's shaking her head. You've got to deal with the world. And you can't turn the alcohol to change the way you feel. And we feel irritable, restless, and discontented. Anybody ever feel that way? You can still feel that way today. That's why we have step 10 and 11. Discontent, you're never happy. You're irritated by everybody. Things aren't going the way you want. So I wrote, sober without program is scary. It's pretty scary, isn't it? And said, without the steps, I ask you, how do you live with anger and fear? How do you deal with them on a daily basis without having to get disturbed and then drink? And if Ed says, and everybody says, nothing changes, nothing changes. Another way says, if I don't change my sobriety date, will. If you're a real alcoholic, the big book says you must have a spiritual way of life or else. What do you think they mean by that, or else? There's no other way. And how do you get a spiritual life? You work the steps. How many steps do you need between you and the next drink? I wrote, I think relapse is when you're living at step zero and the grace period runs out. Go out and drinks again. And I've seen so many people come in after, what? After 30 days, they have the promises. They believe it. They tell me how they have the promises. Life's great. Well, of course it's great. You're not drunk all the time. And then they think it's great. They feel good about things. And then you don't see them. And they drink. Because that wears off. That period wears off, that period of time. And so the big book says that hard drinkers can stop if given sufficient reason. And if you're a hard drinker, then you'll love AA, because hard drinkers can quit if given sufficient reason to do so. And they don't have to work the steps, hard drinkers. And I've seen people celebrate years of sobriety without saying they've worked the steps. They're proud of it, some of them. And that's fine. I'm not judging them. I don't know what they have. But if you have what I have, I need to do this. In the description of the alcoholic, they describe different stages and degrees of alcoholism. But the key thing is that once I've lost the power of choice, I have no defense against the first drink. Now, when did you lose the power of choice? Well, a long time before you realized it. But alcoholics lose the power of choice. That makes them hopeless, because they have no power not to drink. And once they drink, they can't stop. And so the defense must come from a higher power. So I wrote, step zero is not drinking, but no relationship with God is the result of the steps that provides the defense from the first drink. So one of the things that I've been passionate about is, if you're at step zero, please get in the book and work the steps quickly. And that was the purpose. I wrote this was the purpose of this site, to help people go down the path. That's why I started these meetings, to study the book. So at least people are exposed to the path. Whether they do it or not, it's up to them. So I don't know how long, if you're at step zero, find somebody, start going through the book. Then I did the podcast site at the request of some of the members a few years ago. So if you're new, you can listen to all the podcasts. You can listen to the whole book being taught. Find somebody to go through it with you. So to get back to this handout, and then we'll be done. It says, in recent years, on page 64 of this handout, treatment centers have had a lot of influence in the program. And I think this has carried this message. I don't know what year it was written, but it starting in the 1970s, when they made alcoholism a disease, people figured that if it was a disease, insurance companies would pay for its treatment. Now, they couldn't have you stay 30 days and give you a $5 big book, right? So they came up with these treatment plans at the treatment centers, and they became, they had a whole program of group and triggers and all sorts of stuff, and I'm not saying that's good or bad, but they got away from the big book. And some of the treatment centers, you go through steps 1 through 4, and then you go home, they tell you to get a sponsor, and then go to AA. And so the steps are a process that relies on sequence and momentum. In the early days of AA, they did the steps quickly. Dr. Bob, when it came into their room, and if they were done with DTs and the shakes, he had them get out of bed, get on their hands and knees, and give their life to God. And if they didn't do that, then he just moved on to the next one. And he asked them a question. He asked them if they were done. And then he had a 4-day program to go through the beginning of the steps with them. And then they were discharged. And then they came to the meeting place, and they went upstairs. And then they had to do the third step in front of 3 or 4 people. And then they decided if they were really serious about this enough. And then they were allowed to go to the meeting. So actually, in the old days, they started working the steps before they went to a meeting, and there was only one meeting a week. And so then they had these sheets that they had, which had their character defects on one side, and then it had the opposite of the character defects on the other side, and they carried them around, and they checked off during the day whenever they had a character defect, and then they checked off whenever they acted the opposite, and then at night they'd review it and they'd go through it with each other. And so it was a lot different in the early days. They felt that you had to work the steps as quickly as you could. Remember, before the book was written, they just had the 6 Oxford group steps. And then when the book started, we had the program of recovery, and the instructions are very clear, as you see when we go through the book. And so they when he was new, and this was in the 60s, they had 6 weeks to work the steps, given assignments to work every day. Everybody was required to do them. We have people who have the required desire to stop drinking, but they haven't worked the steps. Now, the requirement for membership in AA is a desire to stop drinking. Anybody ever heard that? And it used to be honest desire, but they took honest out. I don't know why. But what is the requirement to recover from alcoholism? To work the steps, to have a spiritual awakening. And so you can come to meetings, but the requirement for recovery is to work the program. Now, in the beginning, the fellowship and the program were one. They named the fellowship after the book. But now we've gotten away from that. At some meetings, you don't even see a big book. And they read things off of cards. So a new guy wouldn't even know that the how it works is actually in a book. I'm not saying that's good or bad, it's just things have changed. Remember at the end on page 164, it says, we want to join you in the fellowship of the Spirit. I mentioned that a lot. And they wrote the fellowship of the Spirit. They were in fellowship seeking the Spirit together. And you can be in the spirit of the fellowship and go to meetings and go to the birthdays and the dinners and love AA, but that doesn't mean you're in the fellowship of the Spirit. And so I heard this one speaker says, the people you hang around with are the people you'll become. So if you hang around people who are working the steps and actively seeking God in all their activities, and you hang around them, then that's the person you'll become because they'll teach you. And so here it says, that remember that all people in our fellowships are not really alcoholics. And we talked about hard drinkers, and they don't have to have a spiritual experience to quit drinking. And then here it says, sometimes we have a nice response to working step three, but we haven't started to recover yet. And then we read this from the book, you know, about the decision being vital and crucial, but it won't have any permanent effect unless followed at once by a course of action. So if I make a decision in the morning to seek God and say the third step prayer, and then I get up and I start running the world, nothing's going to change, right? And so that's where step 10 is, where we watch all day long for our self-centeredness, our resentment, dishonesty, selfishness, and fear, and we have instructions which we're going to be going over on Saturdays on how to be rid of and get back to God all the time. And so 4 through 9 is the big process of looking at your life. So God, you have enough of the crap in your mind cleaned out so God can really start to direct your life each day. And it says you need, he's talking about working with a sponsoree. He says you need rhythm and momentum are very important. If the person sits around and stares after she has taken step one, she will only get more confused and worried. I can't tell you how many meetings where I've heard people working on step three. Now that sounds good, and I don't know what they're saying, but I don't know how long you can work on making a decision to stop playing God. I mean, how long does that take? And so there needs to be a certain momentum to this. But I think when people say that, nobody's explained step three to them. They're not bad, they're not saying something wrong, they just don't understand. They don't understand what the process is. And when you hear people who nobody's instructed them in the book, you'll hear them say things and they believe that they're true, but they're not bad, they're not wrong, they just haven't been taught. And so I think that's our obligation, is to teach the steps, teach what's involved, so you can go through them quickly. Because once you see how the big book's laid out, it's not a very hard thing to do. There's a lot of people here who, there's no one here not smart enough to do this. But I've seen some people who are too smart to do it. So I think trying to be stupid may work better in AA than being really smart. I think really smart got me here. I'm a smart guy and I was really smart. And I was really smart enough to ruin my life. And I did a hell of a job of it, but I'm doing good today. And so it says the first two steps are preparation, 3 through 12 is the program of action. That's how we find the power. I've heard this, people take one step in a month. I had one guy who did one step a year, and his sponsor died while he's on the third step. So I don't know, I haven't seen him for a long time. I saw him about 13 years ago, and he actually believed that. They took one step a year, one step a month. I've heard people who have been going to meetings a year ask when they should start taking the steps. I've heard people say, don't do step four too quickly. So I said, okay, live with your misery. Live self-centered, live full of anger and fear. Yeah, we don't want to do this too quickly. We want to stay blocked in. We want to be block God out. Let's do that. Well, nobody tells them that. And some people actually, I've heard that quite a bit. Now, I think you should have your brain cleared before you start working the steps. And I think that's where treatment is really good. It gives people a chance to get away from the stress, get their mind cleared. Then they come here, they've gotten some information. They've been able to look at their first step, and then they should be able to work the steps quickly. It says you're just prolonging their suffering. What's the use of sitting around for a long time brooding over the fact that you're powerless over alcohol? They're sitting in AA meetings, getting miserable, but then they can't have the relief from drinking. But if you get through step one, admit you're powerless. Everybody admit that here? Then go to step two. Anybody believe you have a power that can restore you to sanity?
Nope.
Then you're going to want some momentum. Well, Greg, keep working on it. Most people are going to want to get going and get some sanity, some power. Roland Hazard took Ebby Thatcher to his house for 2 weeks to work the steps. That was in 1934. He rescued Ebby Thatcher from going to the asylum, being put away for alcoholism in Vermont. Roland Hazard's the same man that went to Dr. Young, who told him that he had a hopeless condition because he was an alcoholic. This was in 1932. But he said that he'd seen some people recover who had this spiritual experience he couldn't explain. Roland went to Calvary Church, joined the Oxford Group, worked their steps. He became sober. He knew Ebby Thatcher. They were childhood friends. He knew he was going to be put away. He took this man with him who was actually the judge's son. They went to Vermont and they got Ebby and they took him. The judge says, get him out of the state, because they locked us up then. That's what they did with us. They locked us up. And so he went to the Calvary Mission. They're reading here with Sam Shoemaker, and then he worked the steps, and after 60 days they told Ebby he had to witness someone. So Ebby said, I got the perfect person, Bill W. And you know how that turned out. On that day, Bill said, I have enough gin to outlast his religious talking, but it changed our lives, didn't it? Now, if Ebby had waited 6 months or a year, we might not be here. Anybody seen where you're required that you be 6 months sober to chair a meeting? Now, I'm wondering, how do you decide at your 5 months and 29 days you can't do the meeting? Where do you get when the 6 month that you're spiritually fit, you can do the meeting? Now, I understand why they're saying that, but what should be the requirement for leading a meeting? You've worked the steps. You see what I'm saying? And so, but if I said that, I would piss somebody off in the group and they'd throw me out. And maybe that's why I do this meeting and I'm not another one, who knows? I'm trying to be funny, nobody's laughing. All right. So Bill worked the steps in Towns Hospital, and we're going to read about that, not this Sunday, but probably the following Sunday. And then he went, and immediately after working the steps, Bill W. is the most self-centered person I've seen written about, except probably for me. And he does the steps, and he went into the hospital, and he was selfish, a miserable human being. He works the steps, and then what happens to this man? He's lying in bed. And to me, this is the most powerful thing. He's thinking about those he can help. He's thinking about all the alcoholics he can help. He was so driven, and then, of course, after 6 months, he didn't help anybody, but he stayed sober, and he found Dr. Bob, and we're here tonight. Think about the change in his personality from when you read pages 1 through 13, and then page 14, he's thinking about those that can help. To me, that's such a powerful testimony of the power of God to work in our lives. Then they talk about the third step prayer, which he read, and then the decision has to be followed by action. So I think we've spent a lot of time on step three. I hope it was helpful over the last few weeks. And now we'll go through step four in detail, and we'll start that next Wednesday night. Thank you.